God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Last week, the church celebrated Good Shepherd Sunday. And as the stained glass behind our altar depicts, Jesus is that Good Shepherd, the one who leads his flock to be with him in heaven above through his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins so that we are now appeased in God the Father's eyes. Last week, we also heard how God not only uses that good shepherd of Jesus the Christ, but he also uses under-shepherds, particularly pastors, as they also lead the flock of God, proclaiming God's word and administering the sacraments. And not just pastors, but teachers, Sunday school teachers, DCEs, deaconesses, all who are then following Christ and teach other people. I would be remiss as a pastor if I also didn't include, as we also remember Mother's Day, that yes, even mothers share their faith and encourage their little ones to come to church. It's a good observation to note, typically on most Sundays, that as I would glance over the congregation, I would usually see more women in attendance than men. I guess women have that nurturing concept that they want to make sure that their little ones do teach that, learn that faith. And so women are there proclaiming that message, bringing their little ones and setting that example. As we remember Mother's Day, we give thanks to God for all the mothers who do that role. Getting to our text from Acts chapter 8, we see that God also, not only does he use people, but he particularly uses people through his Holy Spirit, through his messengers. In Acts chapter 8, we have a couple manifestations of God, so to speak. We have the angel of the Lord first telling Philip that he needs to be at a certain place at a certain time. Philip then is there, and now the Spirit of the Lord comes to Philip and says, "Go up to that chariot." And Philip does. Notice how God is sort of setting the stage here. The Ethiopian eunuch is reading God's word, but doesn't understand. Again, we can read God's word, the Bible, from cover to cover, but without the Holy Spirit in our lives, it's just a book like any other book. But through faith in Christ Jesus, it shows us the gospel message. The word of God is our lifeline, so to speak. It leads the way to show who that good shepherd is, Jesus the Christ. The Holy Spirit then led Philip to share that word of God with the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Holy Spirit wasn't done then. When the Ethiopian eunuch saw some water, he said, "Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Again, the Holy Spirit works again through water and the word, through the sacrament of holy baptism, forgiveness of sins. The Holy Spirit now comes to the person. Faith now receives the promises that God alone gives. The Holy Spirit wasn't done then either in our text. At the end, after Philip had done what he was supposed to do, Philip is now whisked away by the Spirit to another location. All things are possible with God. Notice what the Spirit is doing here. The Spirit is always leading us and guiding us to the Word of God, showing us who Jesus the Christ is, his death, his resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins. Today, as we also remember Mother's Day, we remember that's also similar to the role of mothers that mothers play. Mothers who also lead and guide the family, who always seem to be working, always nudging and making sure the family is at the right place at the right time, so to speak. Unfortunately, in our human world today, we have to realize that we live in a world that is filled with sin. Not all mothers are perfect. Actually, none of them are. And don't worry, dads, you're not perfect either. Not all mothers are really good guides. Not all mothers are very loving. Not all mothers even want to be mothers. As just the other day, I saw a little child who was in the foster care system because his mother and father could not take care of him. And so a friend of ours was doing that. Not all mothers want to be mothers, and then there are also many women who want to be mothers but can't. So what do we do in this world of ours that is filled with sin? And those people who are supposed to be guides, those people who are supposed to be that loving, nurturing caretakers, what happens when they can't even live up to the expectation that our society, our family puts upon them? And this isn't always true, just true with mothers. It's also true with fathers, with any leader, and even with pastors. There are times even in my life where I try to be that perfect parent, but reality sets in. I am a sinner. I am not that perfect parent. I am not that perfect spouse. I am not that perfect pastor. What do we do then when the leaders that God puts into our lives to guide us, to nurture us, fall short of God's glory? Does this destroy our faith and trust in the Good Shepherd? And the answer is no. Quite the opposite. It should put our faith and trust in the Good Shepherd even more. Because it is that Good Shepherd who dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, we are sinners. We try to do our best, but yes, we still fall short of God's glory. I just hope and pray that in the midst of my sin, my daughters that I'm trying to raise don't pick up on my sinfulness, but pick up on the forgiveness that should be coming through me from my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. But what happens when moms even get frustrated at their little ones? Or what happens when moms finally open up their eyes and realize they don't have the perfect children? Again, the forgiveness of sins through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, should come through. This is where the Holy Spirit works. You see, the Holy Spirit works through people. And when the Holy Spirit works through people, God knows that people are sinners. And so guess what? Those people are going to sin. We may not have had the perfect mom as we were growing up. We may not be perfect parents. We may not live in a perfect world. None of this exists. But we do have that perfect guide, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who dies on the cross for us imperfect people, for our imperfect children, for our imperfect world of ours. We have a guide who says, I will guide you through sin. I will guide you through the frustrations. I will guide you through all the obstacles that our world puts before you so that you will see the Good Shepherd, so that you will follow Him who takes you to be with Him in heaven above. We have this guide through our Holy Spirit, who is that perfect guide, who shows us the forgiveness of sins, even during difficult times. We have a Spirit who guides us and strengthens us. Some people may ask, but Pastor, how do I know the Spirit is really guiding me? I have a difficult choice to make, or I have some difficult decisions in my life, and I don't know which way to go. Well, there is one thing that the Spirit will always operate on. Something that the choir sang about, that was evident in our hymns. The Word of God. It is that Word of God that the Spirit is always pointing to. Now, I know today is not the day of Pentecost, and we'll talk more about the role of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost. But for right now, just keep in mind that it is the Holy Spirit's job to be that guide, to constantly point us back to our Good Shepherd, where the source of our faith is. Not to the leader themselves, like the pastor or the mother or the Sunday school teacher or whoever has been nurturing your faith, but pointing us to that Good Shepherd. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't take an inferior role in the Trinity. No, the Holy Spirit is the Trinity, the third person of God, pointing and testifying to the person work of Jesus Christ. Notice in our text from Acts chapter 8, what section of Scripture the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from. Notice that section of Scripture was from Isaiah, when Isaiah talks about the suffering servant. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Notice our Savior does not follow the ways of the world. The ways of the world would have leaders being on top of everything, being glorified. But as Isaiah notes, our leader, the Good Shepherd, goes to the cross, dies for the forgiveness of our sins. Here's another aspect of this passage here that's being quoted that conflicts with today's world and its thinking. In today's world, we start thinking about toys. We start thinking about how much we can gain for ourselves. And even in the Old Testament, the thought was how many children you could have. The more children you would have, the more prosperous you would be. Notice it says from Isaiah, as quoted by Acts, "In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants?" Jesus didn't have any children to glorify in. He himself in his death and resurrection was that glorification. So much for Dan Brown's theory with the Da Vinci Code. God, through his death and resurrection, shows us our salvation. Mother, your salvation is not through your children. Some of you are probably saying, thank you. Because those children, no matter how beautiful they may be, still fall short of God's glory. Our salvation is where the Spirit is guiding us toward, the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So this day, we thank God for being that good shepherd. We thank God for sending the Spirit into our lives through holy baptism and guiding us. We thank God for those many Christian leaders who grew our faith, who helped mentor our faith, and was there when it seemed like our times were very difficult. We thank God for faithful pastors and teachers who lead us to follow His direction. And we thank God for the many blessings. Indeed, He has blessed us richly for all that He has done. We thank God for being that guide and our Savior to deliver us to be with Him in heaven above in His time. Until that time, we continue to rejoice with the Christian church. We celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because in Him we have salvation. In Him we have the forgiveness of sins. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard and protect you through life to life everlasting. Amen. At this time, we'd like to invite everyone to please fill out your names in the red pew pad folders. They may be found toward the center aisle of each pew as we invite our ushers to come forward for the gathering of our offerings.